ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. More snow on the way for parts of the Great Lakes that have already been socked. Parts of western New York and western Pennsylvania, as well as northern Ohio, still digging out from as much as 4 feet of snow. ABC's Andrew Dimbert says it's not just the northern part of the country dealing with the winter weather either.
Snow accumulating in Charlotte, North Carolina for the first time in more than 1,000 days. And today, parts of the state could see record low temperatures. Freeze alerts are posted as far as Alabama, Georgia, and even Florida. Ice and snow wreaking havoc on the roads.
President-elect Trump said to be talking to several people about the job of defense secretary after Pete Hegseth faces a tough confirmation battle following allegations of sexual assault, money mismanagement, and public drunkenness. Some GOP senators have told ABC News they are leaning against confirmation. Protests continuing in South Korea after the president declared martial law there, then was forced to rescind it. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A Dane County judge has struck down Wisconsin's Act 10 law, restoring collective bargaining rights for public workers across the state. Earlier this year, Judge Jacob Frost had ruled that parts of the law were unenforceable. Today's ruling strikes down the part of Act 10, which barred collective bargaining rights for public workers in 2011. Gas prices fell 8.3 cents over the last week. The average in Wisconsin today is $2.77 per gallon. This is 8.5 cents lower than a month ago and over 15 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Areas around the Great Lakes may have seen prices go up just before traveling commenced around the Thanksgiving holiday. However, most of the nation saw prices holding stable or decline slightly, with the national average near the lowest level seen since 2021. Officials at Gas Buddy say the weeks ahead should feature slight drops in most areas. You should see gas for $2.99 or less through the holiday shopping season. Potential impacts from tariffs are something to watch for, though they would have no effect until late January if implemented at all. A man is in custody after a Thanksgiving Day stabbing in Toma. Police said that a 33-year-old man was arrested after a stabbing victim was brought to a hospital in Toma late Thursday night with life-threatening injuries. The person who was stabbed was then taken to a larger hospital for more advanced care. The man who was arrested is suspected of attempted first-degree intentional homicide and is being recommended for several charges. Police said that as their investigation continues, there may be more arrests. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers head to Detroit. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers on their way to Detroit to play the Lions tomorrow night at Ford Field. The Lions now have 18 players on injured reserve, 13 of them defensive players. I asked running back Josh Jacobs, the only teams they've lost to are the Lions, Eagles, and Vikings, all playoff teams. At 9-3, do the Packers feel like a postseason contender?
I would say we're heading that way. To me personally, I feel like a lot of these games, even the games that was close for us, it's a lot of things that we kind of did. Whenever we lock in, as a team, feel like it's us versus us.
College basketball, the Badgers no longer undefeated. They lost in Madison last night, 67-64 to Michigan. The Badgers now 8-1. They face Marquette on Saturday. The Bucks with another win, 127-107 over the Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo, proud of how Damian Lillard is becoming a vocal leader on the team.
Damian did a great job just having us in that mindset that we got to put the game away. This way we become the team that we try to become.
The Bucks host the Hawks tonight with sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy and windy with areas of light snow today. We'll get to the low 30s by around noon, and then temperatures are going to drop quickly into the upper teens by early this evening. Tonight, clear and cold and windy. Wind chill factor below zero. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 24. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin. I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We know what happened the last time Trump applied this ham-fisted tariff policy. He had to write a $12 billion check to farmers because he crushed so many of our agricultural exports. It drove up the cost of single-family homes because the cost of lumber from places like Canada went way the frick up. Everything got more expensive.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll catch up with fan favorite Matt Rothschild. We'll talk about Act 10, who should be the new DNC chair, and also who wants to cut Social Security. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
I'm not doing bad, man. It's a heat wave. What is it, 27 degrees?
Yeah, it's kind of warm, and then the Bucks have kind of turned it around.
Well, yeah, they have, man, but pretty excited about that, but we're going to reach a balmy 45 degrees this coming Sunday, man. Never would have thought that 45 degrees would be considered a heat wave, but coming out of what we are coming out of, I mean, we're having January weather in December. But anyway, it's Wednesday, and that means I am joined by the co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Mr. Paul Swartz. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Calvin. Doing great. We had 27-degree weather here in the nation's capital, and I got out for an hour and a half in that weather walking, so I'm all hot and ready to go.
Well, you know, I said I'm going to get out and walk today. 27 degrees is warm enough to walk. But so we're not alone.
No, sir.
All right.
There is no bad weather. There's only bad clothing.
No. Well, I don't know. You know, Buffalo, they had, 2 feet of snow.
And yet they still came out to the
and
Buffalo
played football game. That's right. They played football in it. None other than Robert Miranda, my good friend of Flack. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, sir? Okay, we're still awaiting Robert. So let's talk, Paul, about, this issue that you and I and Dr. Yana and Robert and people from many different sectors of this nation are worried about. I was going through some different things, and I saw that, and this was in 2017, over 75 million people in this nation, from rural Central California to the boroughs of New York City, were exposed to potentially unsafe water. That's an awful lot of people, and you just wonder, Paul, why prior to what we are attempting to do here, this has not been an issue that you see on television, on the television news. I was going through some other information. Remember Aaron Brockovich?
Yeah.
And what transpired with her talking about dirty water and how many years ago that was. And yet, even in the face of all of that, that still hasn't been rectified. So this is just not going to go away, is it?
No, Earl. It's a great observation that there's a long history of people knowing about a variety of contaminants that are in our drinking water. And of course, the profile of contaminants that are coming through your tap changes from community to community and over time. But I think there's this assumption that we're not a third world country, so we don't have drinking water problems. And there's an assumption that government or the water utility would tell us if we have a problem. And sometimes that does happen, but it's really inadequate. There's not broad scale public education that puts out that these exposures are more commonplace and that people need to protect themselves, and we need to prioritize the information so that people can do that, and also the right policies in our communities so that we prioritize funding, that we subsidize people who can't afford the solutions and communities that can't afford the solutions, and that we come to consciousness as a nation and pull together to turn around this scourge. If it was a foreign country polluting our drinking water with these contaminants, we would spend billions and billions of dollars to go and knock them back into an earlier century. And we're just doing it to ourselves. And as Erin Brockovich said with hexavalent chromium in her California town, that is just the price of doing business.
You know, Paul, we're at a point where, you know, we've got a new administration coming in. We talked about this a little bit before we get into all the things you and I are going to talk about. We talked about this a little bit last week about the new administration and the talk about doing away with the Environmental Protection Agency. And you know, we hear and all the negative things and what the Biden administration didn't do much for the American people and those kinds of things. But for heaven's sakes, Paul, let's make no mistake about it. If the Environmental Protection Agency is gutted or is basically removed, which is what we're hearing, you know, overtures from the Trump administration, the things we're talking about right now with the government trying to address this lead in the water issue is going to be, you know, done away with. Basically, if the government doesn't step forward economically to fix this, and the branch of the government that would address this would be the Environmental Protection Agency, where would we be?
Well, that's another great observation, Earl, that the reason why we birthed the US EPA was a recognition that water, clean water and clean air is life. And that if we don't rectify the problems that we have, people aren't going to be able to breathe well, and they're going to get cancers and other chronic and acute diseases from the, you know, and that's why the EPA was put up. Now, the EPA hasn't been perfect. There's been problems under both Republican and Democratic administrations, but this Trump administration and his nominee for the US EPA, who has to head it, has no experience dealing with these issues. And his approach is, how do we end the regulations? And the approach of the Trump administration is, how do we cut government jobs? And how do we save trillions of dollars by not providing the things that are at the center of government, like clean air and clean water?
You know,
so this would be a tragedy if it were to come to pass.
You know, and I guess, Paul, more than anything else, there has to be whistleblowers, right? Somebody has to sound the alarm, because if we don't talk about it, if we don't bring it to light, then, you know, people are just going to be the same sheep that we've been all of this time, and just trusting that people are going to do the right things, that corporations are going to do the right things. You know, it's not the total government that is bereft of caring about the people. There's segments of it, and when you know, have people who have done the kind of things that have been done, you know, to the American people, we wind up where we are. I see our good friend Robert Miranda has just joined us. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Paul. Sorry for the...
That's no problem, man. You know, it's good to have you on board. So, you know, Paul and I were talking about, you know, the fact that the selection by President Trump for the head of the EPA, a person that's like most of the people that he selected for cabinet positions, has no experience, doesn't know anything about it. And yet the first thing he's talking about is kind of doing away with the EPA. You know, your thoughts?
Well, it just shows that these people don't care about the health of the American people. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about nothing more than just making pure profit. And they're pirates. They're privateers that have no conscience of the needs of the people of this country. We have been invaded. Our government has been invaded by pure profiteers who are nothing more than just opportunists taking advantage of the people's wants and needs and desire for change to improve their lives. And by Trump appointing a bunch of individuals who have just the most despicable credentials to all of these positions in government shows that Trump is doing a much better job at destroying America than Putin, Xi from China, or little Kim over there in North Korea could ever do. This is a horrendous situation with EPA. To appoint an individual who clearly lacks the scientific knowledge, the respect for science. He's probably an anti-climate change person who just only sees the land, our country, as nothing more than a dollar bill, and that's it. And it's just tremendously obvious that this administration could care less about the American people's health in this country.
So, you know, Robert and Paul, with that backdrop, what we can expect in an incoming administration, protecting yourself is the key element. And so, what we're going to spend time talking about this morning is not to rely on the EPA, not to rely on the government, but you've got to protect yourself and your family. And we're going to talk about the methods, the scientific methods that we know that are there and that work for you to protect your own families. Mr. Paul Swartz, co-founder of the Campaign for Lead-Free Water. Robert Miranda, Executive Director of Flat Fresh Water for Life, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
At Harbor Freight, our low prices make us the place for gifts that keep on giving. Because when you give the gift of quality tools, you're giving someone the ability to fix, restore, and build for years to come. And with savings like these, you can even get something for yourself. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight. Stop by and give yourself the gift of great prices.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Someday at Christmas, men won't be boys, playing with bombs like kids play with toys. One warm December, our hearts will see a world where men are free. Someday at Christmas, there'll be no wars, when we have learned what Christmas is for. When we have found what life's really worth, there'll be peace on earth.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I'm joined once again, as I am every Wednesday, as we're every Wednesday, with co-founder of Campaign for Lead Free Water, Mr. Paul Swartz, and Robert Miranda of FLAC, Freshwater for Life. So guys, is it safe to say, you know, we just play a little holiday music, the holiday is upon us, and people are wondering what kind of gifts should I get my family members? You couldn't find a better gift, guys, for your grandchildren and your daughters and sons who may not be aware of the follies that, you know, that they deal with on a daily basis with their faucets. You want to talk a little bit, Paul, about, you know, some of the solutions that we know people can use to avoid this issue we're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely, Earl. First, I want to say that sunlight is the best disinfectant, and information and just action is part of the solution. And I want to focus in a little bit on a situation that's happening in my city today. A water main broke in Northeast Washington, D.C., and created a condition of low pressure, which sometimes can put microbial, meaning like pathogens and viruses and other stuff, things like E. coli, in the water supply. And so for an abundance of caution, our water authority, DC Water, issued yesterday a boil water alert. And that's the right thing to do to inactivate or kill those bugs. But what they didn't tell people, and this is critical and necessary, and water authorities and EPA don't require this language, is that boiling not only does not remove lead from water, which, you know, that's an EPA recommendation, not to boil your water, but when you have a boil water alert, it tends to concentrate, if you don't filter before you boil, it tends to concentrate the lead. According to a peer-reviewed scientific paper on lead poisoning from 1992, in infancy, excessive boiling, quote, increases the lead concentration of tap water, amplifying the risk of lead intoxication and exposing the infants to substantial quantities of lead with every formula feeding. And that's from Shannon and Graith in 1992. And yet this information is missing from most recommendations for preventing exposures to lead in water, as well as many, and perhaps even most, boil water advisories like the one that went out on our media yesterday, that water utilities must issue to protect consumers from waterborne pathogens. It's therefore imperative that water authorities all around the country, when these low pressure situations happen, and especially during the winter when pipes break, that they make the messaging clear when it comes to lead from plumbing. Boiling one's water can be dangerous because it can expose consumers to unusually high levels of lead, causing potentially significant health harm. And in terms of that Christmas gift or holiday gift for those who are not Christian brothers and sisters, I think getting what's called a dually certified lead filter, that's a countertop or put right on the faucet mounted. So you want ANSI, NSF, ANSI, NSF certification 42 and 53. And for the certification 53, you want a statement saying that it's going to reduce lead. Find that on the box at the hardware store. Then you've made a great gift and you're going to end lead exposure, whether it's during a water alert or any other day of the year.
Robert?
Yeah, that's interesting that Paul bring that up about what's going on there today in Washington, D.C. I think, as you may recall, Earl, when you attended one of our committee meetings at the Public Health and Safety Committee in Milwaukee City Hall, we raised that issue back in 2016 when we presented some of our science and some of our maps to the committee in regards to how lead pipes are affecting the health of the city of Milwaukee. And one of the areas that we pointed out was that back in 1992, 93, around there, if you recall, cryptosporidium hit. And cryptosporidium was a real damaging blow to the city of Milwaukee. We lost about 100 souls during that. A lot of people were getting sick. And the city of Milwaukee did issue at that time also a boiling water alert. But they did not say anything about the lead in the water at that time either. The reason why this is important to mention is because we know through science, there are numerous science studies and reports about how lead affects our children's minds and causes disruption in their behavior and disruption in their education, but it also leads to crime. And in Milwaukee, after the cryptosporidium episode, the record shows that 20, 25 years later, we experienced a spike in crime in the city of Milwaukee. And so it is important that people get filters this year, get filters for their houses, even if you have lead pipes or not.
All right, 855-752-4842. Co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, Paul Swartz, and Robert Miranda of FLAC. You can join us at 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
News from the center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources celebrates the conclusion of the 2024 nine-day gun deer hunt. Preliminary license sales, harvest registration, and hunting incident numbers are now available. Preliminary figures indicate the number of deer hunters in Wisconsin slightly increased compared to 2023. As of 11:59 Sunday night, sales for deer hunting privileges reached 791,023, up from 788,697 for the same time period last year. Of those, 553,652 were for gun privileges only, up from 553,479 in 2023. Since the opening of the bow and crossbow seasons, Wisconsin hunters have registered 289,361 deer. This harvest is 8.7% ahead of the same time last year. Preliminary figures show hunters registered 189,622 deer during the 2024 gun deer season, including 89,787 antlered and 99,835 antlerless deer. Compared to 2023, the gun season harvest total is up 5.2% statewide, with the antlered harvest up 3.6% and the antlerless harvest up 6.6%. Vernon County led the southern farmland zone with 7 deer registered per square mile. Vernon County recorded 5,502 harvested deer. Grant County recorded 4,084. Sauk registered 3,429. Crawford had a total of 3,245. Richland County registered 3,120 deer harvested. Iowa County had 1,849. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're in the Milwaukee area and looking for live holiday entertainment, run, don't walk, to see A Christmas Carol at the Pabst Theater. The Dickens classic is one of the most well-known Christmas stories ever, and as usual, is put on by the Milwaukee Rep. Because of a few harrowing moments, recommended ages are 6 and above, but word on the street is they aren't checking IDs. Tickets start as low as $15, and at those prices, you can't afford not to check it out. You might think being nominated for an Academy Award is a big deal. For most people, it would be, but not Samuel Jackson. Jackson was nominated in the Best Supporting Actor category for his role as Jules in Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction. Jackson told the AP that people barely remember who won, much less who didn't, when it comes to nominations. Jackson did, however, say it would be an honor to win, even though he hasn't had the pleasure yet. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and windy with areas of light snow today. We'll get to the low 30s by around noon, and then temperatures are going to drop quickly into the upper teens by early this evening. Tonight, clear and cold and windy. Wind chill factor below zero. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high of 24. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 27.
The Todd Alba Show.
Cash Patel, who Trump has nominated to be the head of the FBI, saying he wants to basically shut down the main parts of the FBI. Bill Barr, MAGA Republican Attorney General to Donald Trump. Quote, the very idea of moving Patel into a role like this showed a shocking detachment from reality. Unquote. This is not the left calling out Patel. This is the right.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, will prices of things we eat be going up? We talk to Darren Von Ruden coming up tomorrow at 11:06. We'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Again, Mr. Paul Swartz, who is the co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and Robert Miranda Flack. So, gentlemen, I would say while we are working and diligently to get this information out to people, not only in this audience but across the nation, we're going to be – just want to say to people that we're going to be expanding what we are doing with this in the coming months in doing a podcast that will certainly expose this to even more people. I'm really excited about the prospects about what of the magnitude of the outreach that we are going to have in bringing this information to people. But let me say to you guys, what if you don't have the money for filters? You know, there are a lot of people who struggle in this society and they don't have extra financial resources. I don't know, is the government providing these filters? Is there a way? And the question is, why not? You know, if the government is aware that this is going on, why can't the government supply these filters, you know, until people can, you know, get the lead pipes removed?
Well, the interesting point is, Earl, that the government can supply these filters. I don't know if you recall, but when we first started exposing...
Yeah, I do recall it. I do recall. In Milwaukee, they did it.
Yes, they Milwaukee city government and its bureaucracy freaked out. And all of a sudden, the city was handing out filters throughout the city.
Right.
The city at Milwaukee Health Department was telling people to go to the various different city buildings and city park houses and to pick up, and people were lining up for those filters.
That's true.
So the issue is that the pressure of the people needs to happen for city government, for municipalities to make things like that happen. And we proved that back in 2015, 2016, when we started having those rallies at City Hall and started having those teach-ins at the rotunda of City Hall. I don't know if you recall.
I was there.
Yeah, and so that kind of pressure from the people is needed to force government to do the right thing, because government doesn't have plans to use our tax dollars to protect us. Government has plans with our tax dollars to support venture capitalists and their plans for developing Camelot. When I mean Camelot, I mean downtown Milwaukee. And so they don't see those dollars as dollars that should be used to stabilize communities, to protect public health, to improve public services. They see those dollars that need to go to these poor billionaires who want to develop sports arenas or who want to build beautiful venues so that people can come to their plazas and spend their money. That's the way they see our dollars. Our community showed that when you apply pressure, then the right pressure backed by facts, not conspiracy, facts, the government will respond in the right way. And so, you know, without that kind of people power, the government will not do what is right. And city of Milwaukee and other cities around the country should be supplying filters to those who can't afford it.
So Paul, how expensive are these filters and what's their life expectancy?
I want to say, echo what Robert Miranda just said, which is that this is a political fight. It's also a fight to get out the right information. And it's also a fight, a policy fight, over what our priorities are and how to get the right type of filters out to people and let people train people on how to install them properly, how to maintain them properly, and how to operate them properly. Otherwise, it could be a problem. But typically, at a big box store, a countertop filter or a faucet-mounted filter would be around $50 to $100, and the replacement activated carbon discs that go with that, if you go to a big box store, would be like $7 for $50. So for people who have any money, it's affordable. But for people who don't, we need help. We need subsidies and help. In a bill recommendation to a bill that's going before the DC City Council, we're asking for three things in relation to filters. One is that the water authorities and the DC government and EPA should let people know that lead in water is near in every building and that they should filter. That doesn't really cost any money, just to let people know and give them the option to protect themselves. Second, to subsidize especially the Women, Infant, Children program and the SNAP program recipients who are the most vulnerable people with filters. And third, to make sure that as we're swapping out the lead laterals or lead service lines, that we go far beyond what the water authorities are going to be required to do to give people 6 months of filters after those lead pipes are swapped out, and do it today for people who have that, and know that even if they don't have a lead service line, that when they're going in and digging out the lead laterals, that everybody's house is shaking and lead is coming out of their pipes and being dispensed through their taps.
So if you're just joining us, once again, we're joined by Robert Miranda of Fresh Water for Life and Paul Swartz, co-founder of a campaign for lead-free water. And this is an ongoing segment of the Earl Ingram Show every Wednesday as we talk about the inherent dangers in these things. So Paul, let me ask you, if I know in the attack or the fight that Robert and others were putting up in the city of Milwaukee, do you start at the city level or is it the state level, or you know, is it both?
Well, you know, in fact, it's our local governments, it's our state government, and it's our federal government. We need all three to work together in concert to make sure that the policies are right and that the implementation of those policies are sound and that people have the information and the tools necessary to protect themselves at the individual level with our families and at the community level. Because some of this goes back to the type of messaging that Robert was talking about around the Cryptosporidium outbreak in Milwaukee in the spring of 93, when the information wasn't getting out to people. And so the reason why the information wasn't getting out to people is because the water authority and the health departments are either relying on or hiding behind what is often incorrect information that's coming out from the national health authorities like the Centers for Disease Control and US EPA.
You know, guys, and Robert, this is, you know, here we are, and with the tobacco issue. How long have we been fighting the tobacco issue? There's now, you know, this fight about menthol cigarettes and the damage that it causes. And the government is aware of it. And yet they know that especially people of color who have a proclivity to smoke menthol cigarettes are dying overwhelmingly. And yet knowing that that's happening, it should be an easy fix for our elected officials to say, hey, this is killing people. Let's correct it. Well, here we are with something similar. We know what's happening with this lead in the water. And so we can't solely rely on our elected officials to do the right thing. And why not, Robert?
I mean, why not is because the people have been so accustomed to all this misinformation, misleading statements, manufactured facts by government. And so people are just trusting of what the government is saying about what's going on with their water. And so, you know, people just don't really understand and know where to really get the facts on these things. And so, you know, there, you know, people say, well, there are groups out there that are supposed to be watching out for them. Well, you know, yeah, there are some groups out there, but, you know, by and large, most of these groups are out there in government payroll. You know, everybody is relying on grants. And everybody who gets a grant or does get money from some source is not going to bite the hand that feeds them. And so when you got groups out there dealing with this specific issue of money, of water, for example, they're not going to be raising these kinds of issues we're raising here. They're not going to be talking about the kind of things we talked about when we started this movement back in 2015. They're not going to raise these kinds of things because they know that government has a tendency to start blocking them from getting that money and that gravy they've been getting for the longest. And so people who have a commitment to the community, people who have a commitment to public stability, public life, public health, those are the kind of leaders that need to step up. You know, the kind of leaders that we saw back in the 50s and 60s who had the courage to come forward and say enough is enough and it's time to change things then. Those are the kind of leaders we need back today. You know, we've got too many people too interested in the bling and the money and getting rich and being like Elon Musk and doing things like, you know, like that'll only get their wallets fat. We need more people who have a commitment to seeing that their community is going to survive and is going to thrive on dignity, on integrity, on decency, on stability. These are the kind of leaders that we need to start seeing more of. And you know, I'm not impressed by somebody who rolls up in a beautiful Rolls or BMW. What I'm impressed by is the individual who takes that bus to the meeting and starts fighting for the people.
So, Paul, I want to pose this question, and that's, do you think that maybe because of the fact that this is not something that we see immediately with lead and the impact that it has on human beings, you don't see it if you drink water today, that the impact of the drinking that lead is going to impact you tomorrow? It's a long, drawn-out process. Do you think that maybe that's one of the reasons why people don't get so worked up about this? We'll talk about it. 855-752-4842 on the Earl Ingram Show.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As Democrats pick up the pieces from their loss to Donald Trump, one of the first major decisions the party will be making is to select the new chair of the Democratic National Committee. The race for that role now has a major Wisconsin connection. Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is now officially running for DNC chair. One Democratic source I talked to characterized Wickler as a Goldilocks candidate for the role. He's liked by both centrists and progressives, big-dollar donors and grassroots organizers, and knows how important state parties around the country can be in a second Trump term. So, could he be just right for the role? The vote for DNC chair is scheduled for February 1st. A lot can happen between now and then. But whether or not Wickler wins in his bid for the role, it will certainly be a story to watch for Democratic politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show, being this first hour. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Once again, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Swartz, co-founder of Campaign for Lead-Free Water, and Robert Miranda, executive director of FLAC. So, Paul, I was asking you before the break, this is not something that, you know, you drink some water that has lead in it, and, you know, right away you keel over dead. It's something that over time, do you think the fact that it happens over time and so people aren't really alarmed because they don't see the ravages of it right away, you think that's part of the reason why it's hard to get people worked up over it?
Thank you for that question, Earl. You know, it's a really good point. As the song went that you played earlier, do you see what I see?
Yes.
And lead and water, you can't see or taste lead. It's invisible. And the infrastructure, the pipes coming into buildings, the lead laterals and the plumbing inside buildings are sort of out of sight, out of mind. And you'd figure that if there was some problem, somebody would tell you that there was that problem. And unfortunately, that's not happening. So this program, Piercing the Veil, getting through what Robert was talking about of the manufactured ignorance is really important. There's a trade association called the Lead Industry Association. It's now just recently defunct, but they sent out agents around the country to require building codes to use lead and water. I mean, to use lead in plumbing. And one of the biggest proponents of that was the big association of all the water utilities like Milwaukee Water Works or out in Flint or Newark or DC Water in my hometown. And the American Water Works Association has been working for over 100 years to get people to prefer using lead, to train plumbers and pipe fitters to use lead. And because of that, in the EPA area that Milwaukee and Chicago and Detroit are in, it's called Region 5, the head enforcer who sort of really listened to the citizens in Flint when they said something's wrong with our water, Miguel Del Toro, resigned from the American Water Works Association, which he had been a long and proud member of, because he said that that association wasn't telling the truth and was putting their thumb on the scale of federal regulations, something called the lead and copper rule, so that they could provide fig leaves for the water authorities not to be accountable for what was going on. And this collusion between the United States EPA, their Office of Water, and the Office of Groundwater and Drinking Water, where these rules are made, and the water authorities and their associations have left people in the dark. And so while lead exposure in the womb, in utero, or amongst little kids between 0 and 6, the damage can happen with one slug of lead, and it could be a lifetime damage just even before you're born. Lead in water is a teratogen, and what that word means is that it's one of those contaminants that get passed from the mom through the placenta to the developing baby. And so it's not surprising that when people wake up to this, they figure out, oh, that attention deficit disorder, that spontaneous abortion or fetal death, that problem that I'm having with getting my kid to be mature because his or her frontal lobe is not developing could be associated or related with this unseen danger of lead and water.
You know, Robert, safe to say, follow the money, right?
The money. And you know, that's a great question you posed, because I like to use the example of what happened at that Marine Corps base at Camp Lejeune. You know, the people were drinking, the Marines, the families right. were drinking that water, even though that water was toxic. And again, it is a time issue. Over time, your body becomes sick. You become sicker. And now they found out that after about 40 years of drinking that toxic water, all these Marines and their families are developing cancer. That's the same thing going on with lead. Not developing cancer, but we're developing other health problems that are harming our family.
Hey, Robert and Paul, thank you very much, as always, for what I think is going to be life-changing information. We're going to continue down this road. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys again next Wednesday. Up next, Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
From the center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's the one-year anniversary show with my first guest ever. Tune in with me, host Bill Leff. Also joining me are entertainment writer Chris Foran and Civic Media's own Joel Karnick.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.